Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also brought to you by our great friends over at touringplans.com. Do me a favor today here on a Monday, drop by touringplans.com. Check out all the great trip planning tools they have. And some of those are actually even free. You don't even have to pay for them, like the least expensive ticket calculator. You can actually even check out resort room views. So say you want to stay at, let's say Coronado Springs. I love that resort. You can check out what a room on the second floor of the casitas would look like. Helps you make a good decision when it comes to putting in requests for your next Walt Disney World stay. And speaking of requests, they even have a feature where you can have them fax in a room request. And those things are highly successful. Let me tell you, I work with a lot of guests who do this, and it is highly, highly successful. So we always want to kind of have a little insurance to have the best opportunity to get exactly what we're looking for on our next Disney vacation. And of course, see as many attractions as possible. And you can do that with a touringplans.com premium subscription. So check them out today and check out all the great tools that are going to make your next trip awesome. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1099 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Hopefully you had lots of turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and all that over the Thanksgiving Day weekend. We are back here in the last week of November, getting ready for the holiday season. Lots going on down at Walt Disney World. I'm sure lots going on wherever you are tuned in the world. And we're trying something a little bit different here on a Monday. We are recording this one a little bit ahead of time, but we are answering your listener questions live here at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/live and at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. So we always want to make the show interactive and have a good time talking with our listeners. So we're going to do just that as we record tonight. So if you're tuned in live, again, give us a call at 407-413-WDW5. That's 407-413-9395. And it looks like we have our first caller of the night. Let's patch in our first caller here. And I believe it is Jennifer. Jennifer, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good deal. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Nice, California. Good time. So are you close to Disneyland?
Yeah, I'm about 80 miles away. So we have our annual passes and hit up Disneyland once or twice a month at least.
Oh my goodness. That is living the good life, man. So Disneyland's your home park, but do you make it down to World very often?
As a matter of fact, I will be heading down to World on Thursday, December 1st, taking an overnight flight. So my big question is, I'm going to arrive at 6 a.m. in the morning at MCO, and I'm a little concerned about getting freshened up after a long flight and not having access to my hotel room until the afternoon. So I'm thinking of starting off at the Magic Kingdom and, you know, carrying my gear, and, you know, it's a little nervous just rolling in and getting going.
Yeah, that's an early time to arrive. So are you using Magical Express on this trip?
Yes, definitely.
So that's kind of good because you'll have your bags delivered directly to your resort room, so you won't have to worry about that. Yeah, but you're right, kind of hitting the ground running that early in the morning and kind of taking the red eye across or, you know, extremely early. That's going to be a challenge. But the thing is, you're landing in Walt Disney World and heading to the Magic Kingdom. So it couldn't be, you know, it won't be that bad. So what do you think is your plan of attack? I mean, do you think that, you know, maybe catch a breakfast on the monorail loop or something like that to kind of get yourself ready? Maybe at Orlando International?
Well, I think that because I wasn't going to check my bags because my flight, I was just bringing a carry-on just for the weekend. I'm doing a solo weekend out there. So, but now I'm thinking I don't want to deal with my bag, so I might just pay the upgrade to check it so I don't have to deal with it when I get off the plane. I think Magic Kingdom opens around 8. I think they have early morning hours that day. So I'll get started, and then later on that day, I'm headed over to Hollywood Studios and booked my fast passes for there and lunch at the Brown Derby. But I'll need a little breakfast and coffee to start off, I think.
Definitely.
At the Magic Kingdom. Definitely. I'm not going to waste any time in the airport.
No, that's true. I mean, you got to remember, the airports are still new and exciting to me because I just started flying. But I know for experienced travelers, you want to get in and out of that airport as quick as you can.
Yeah, well, I only have, you know, 2 nights there and the 3 days, so I have tried to jam-pack as much as possible in there.
So what else do you have on the itinerary? You know, you're getting there early, maybe Starbucks on Main Street USA with like a Danish or a croissant or something. But, you know, what are you most looking forward to once you kind of get yourself down and rolling for the trip?
Well, I am meeting some friends there. But they're not going to be, like, our first meetup is for dinner, and I believe dinner is at Flying Fish for Friday night, and then there's a big Epcot day on Saturday, so, you know, I booked my fast passes for Epcot, and then Sunday back at Magic Kingdom for the day where I have some reservations for Be Our Guest for breakfast and Skipper Canteen for lunch. So I think I'm hitting all the rides that I didn't get a chance to see on my 2014 trip, but I just feel like there's Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, and like now some new nighttime show at the Magic Kingdom. And I'm thinking, I don't have another night. I have to be on the plane by 7 p.m. Sunday.
I know that stinks. That's kind of what I'm learning.
Weekend is not fun.
Exactly. That's what I'm learning is because we've been going down for the race weekends. And now that I'm flying, we tend to take the, you know, like a 7:30 flight on Sunday night back home because we can get back to St. Louis by about 9:30 our time, which is really convenient. But what it does is, you know, you think, oh, we're going to be there, you know, X amount of nights, and you count Sunday night. But then when you got to get a 7 o'clock flight, you got to be back for Magical Express at 4. So you don't get that, you know, you get a half a day on that Sunday. And it's kind of frustrating because, like you said, Disney's really offering a lot of nighttime spectaculars. That new show, projection show at the Magic Kingdom, just looks really, really beautiful. Like you said, you know, we have Jingle Bells, Jingle Bam at the studios, and not quite the Osborne lights, but it is something special. So I think that is the problem. If you can't be there for 3 or more nights, you really have to make really tough choices into what you want to see on those nights you're there.
Yeah, I pretty much decided that even though I'm meeting people, I may just kind of excuse myself and disappear so I get to see what I want.
You got to do that sometimes.
It's going to be very interesting doing, you know, this. So basically, I'm considering it a solo trip, even though there will be a few people to meet up with.
It's a good deal. And Layla's in our chat room. She's down in Puerto Rico and telling us, hey, don't discount the Nutella waffle sandwich for that breakfast when you arrive. You know, maybe a cup of coffee and that. You know, that's a great way to kick off a trip at the Magic Kingdom.
That would be great if I liked Nutella.
Oh.
I'm probably the only one in the world that doesn't like it.
You know what? Paige eats that around here all the time. I don't think I've ever had it. The color looks kind of strange. Now, I like the chicken waffle sandwich from Sleepy Hollow, but I've never tried Nutella, so maybe I like it, maybe I don't. I might have to do that on my next trip.
That would be great. Yeah, nice. So where is that location for the waffle?
That's it's Sleepy Hollow in Liberty Square, right there as you go across the bridge from Cinderella Castle. So you can actually grab it, and they have seating right there over to the, if you're standing on Main Street and you're looking at the castle, it's to the left. So it's a great place to sit, and it's kind of out of the way. It's across from the old Christmas shop there in Liberty Square.
Okay, I remember the Christmas shop from my last trip. So headed towards like Haunted Mansion, and I definitely, we ate at, what was that restaurant everyone likes with the seafood?
Oh, Columbia Harbor House, probably.
Yes, yes, exactly. It has upstairs. So, yes.
And we're getting,
it's my first trip.
If there's one thing our listeners know, it is food. And so Michael is offering a couple other suggestions. We know that you're going to be our guest later, but if you want to kind of keep it thematic, you could go to Gaston's Tavern, and I believe they still have the big cinnamon rolls. Now, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but they did have huge cinnamon rolls there. But if you want to go all in, like my buddy Scott, my good friend Scott says, just take that monorail over to Kona. And you can't go wrong with Tonga Toast or the Big Kahuna over there. That's a prime spot. If you want a table service, now how do you feel about, I know some people like won't do table service if they're solo because your friends won't be there yet. I don't think I'd have a problem with it, actually. You know, I've done that before when I've been for media events and other things. But, hey, good food is good food. So Kona could be an option, too.
I'm all for table service with the exception of I have the dining plan, and I bought the premium dining plan, so I get 3 table service a day, but I think I have a couple of double credit items, so I'm thinking day one I may, because I already have one Brown Derby, Flying Fish, Be Our Guest, Skipper Canteen. I think we're going to the Wave Saturday night. I think I've used all my credits.
Ah, that's okay. So. You're actually having some really good day. I've never been to Brown Derby myself. It's one of those places I'm very curious about. I've heard good things, but with my family, with it being a signature restaurant and taking 2 table service credits or just being a more expensive dining option for my family, I know it has that old Hollywood feel to it, which I think it really entices me. But with our kids, I just don't think that they would be as excited about going there as, you know, some other options. We try to stay away from signature just because when you have 4 people, it gets expensive really quickly. But I'm really curious. So have you ever eaten there before?
No. Last time I did 50's Prime Time at Hollywood Studios. So this one was the only one that had a reservation because I was looking for a place for lunch for Friday. And it was available for 1:00. So I figure I'll probably want to go light anyway in the morning if I can be awake for that 1:00 lunch.
that'll be a challenge. Yeah, you'll be up a long time. See, you really need to hope that and cross your fingers that Disney gives you that text right away and says your room is ready. So that's one of the things I could suggest is when you go through your online check-in process, one of the options they give you now, which I think is a genius idea, is that you can select, I would prefer to have the first available room that's ready over any of my other requests. Like if you want to top floor room or you want a room on the ground floor, something like that. You can also say, I would just rather have any room that is ready as soon as possible because folks like you, you might want to go back and take a nap for just a couple hours because you'll be a zombie that night if you don't.
Yes, I will. Although I had a real late night at Disneyland a few weeks ago. DVC had a party at the California Adventure, and I lived on about 4 hours of sleep. So I got my second win by the next afternoon. So I'm hoping that works again this weekend.
You know what, though? When you go to a Disney destination, here's what I've learned, because, again, I'm kind of fresh off, not too long ago, the Wine and Dine race weekend, and before we know it, the marathon weekend, and it is a marathon weekend will be here, the race weekends, is that, you know, I think it's almost like a form of punishment. Like we're like Disney zombies a couple days. And so you're having such a quick trip. That's one of those things that I think can get away from you quickly that you want to maximize your time, especially coming all the way across the country, that sleep is so low on the priorities that it's kind of tough towards the end of the trip. But it sounds like you're a veteran. You know how it's going to be and you're going to maximize it. Hey, you can sleep on the plane on the way home as you cross the country.
That is the plan. I already bought my neck pillow.
My daughter Mallory wants one of those so bad. We have a truck stop that just opened up here about 10 minutes from the house. And every time we go in there, she wants me to buy the old neck pillow for our 2-hour flight. But you know what? That might be something.
I hope it works.
Yeah, well, maybe something for Christmas. She has Christmas and her birthday within a couple weeks of each other. So She might be getting a neck pillow. Hopefully she's not listening tonight. Well, I appreciate
Thanks, Mike, and everyone.
I appreciate it, and have a great trip, and thanks for calling out in California. I really appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Take care, Jennifer. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye. All right, the number is 407-413-9395. Again, that's 407-413-9395. A big thanks to Jennifer for calling in here and sharing a lot about her trip coming up to Walt Disney World. Coming over from the West Coast, she's a Disneyland expert, and Disneyland is her home park, but she's going to head out to Walt Disney World to have a quick weekend trip. Man, I can't imagine traveling that far for a weekend trip, but I guess we all do it. You know, we love the Disney destinations. We always want to have a great time, and it sounds like she has a plan. And Michael brings up a great point in the chat, and I kind of want to address this because I think he's on the right track here, that Jennifer mentioned she's going to be on the premium Disney, or actually the deluxe Disney dining plan, which if you don't know, that is a plan that Disney offers, a dining plan where you get tickets, your room, and dining. And on the deluxe plan, you get three meals per person per night. And what it is, you can use them for table service or counter service. They're kind of interchangeable. And you get two snacks per person, plus you get a refillable mug per person per stay. So Michael was asking, you know, I wonder if that's going to be too much food with Brown Derby, and she said the Wave, and Be Our Guest, and Skipper Canteen, Flying Fish. I mean, those, especially Brown Derby and Flying Fish, those are both signature restaurants that are going to take two table service credits each. So I think that's where, when folks ask me about the dining plans, and you're looking to see where does the deluxe dining plan fit in, because a lot of people say, you know, that's so much food. And here's where I think that you can come ahead, is that if you're planning on doing a lot of signature dining, the deluxe plan can hop in there and kind of fill that bill because you have a lot of credits. And what you can do there is still, you know, on the standard plan, you get one table service, one counter service, one snack per person per night. But if you have deluxe, what you can do is that one table service meal now can become a signature meal and still have a counter service. You could actually still have another table service meal that night too. That's a lot of food though. And it takes a ton of time that way. But what it does is it lets you kind of have the option of going to signature restaurants like California Grill or Narcoossee's or Le Cellier, things like that, Gico, where you can work those in and they're prepaid as part of your dining plan. And you can still not have to, you know, sweat the details that, you know, the cost of a signature meal is so high. So if you're thinking a lot of signature, it's a very special trip. Deluxe dining can work out where it's not a, you know, just so much food that it's coming out of your ears. But if you're trying to eat all one table service credit meals on the deluxe plan, you are going to eat yourself to death. So I think Michael has a great point. All right. So give us a call, 407-413-9395. Another thing I'd like to ask, you know, it is the holiday season down at Walt Disney World. Seems like it's already been for a couple of months now, since actually before Wine and Dine Race Week, and the Christmas trees were up at the Magic Kingdom. But one of the things that Disney is getting ready to experiment with and start something that is cutting edge are drones at Disney Springs. So about 3 weeks ago, the FAA allowed Disney, they gave them permission to start flying drones over the theme parks and just the guest areas. And as far as I know, I think that the FAA prohibited drones to be flown over, you know, large masses of people for obvious reasons. And actually, we have a call here, and this person might know more about drones because he works with the FAA every day. So let's get this call in here. And it is my good friend Jay, I believe, as I was checking Facebook, calling in live from the Magic Kingdom. What's going on, Jay? How you doing?
Magic Kingdom tomorrow. Tonight was Hollywood Studios in downtown Disney.
Ah, man, it's so rough. And I got to spend some time at Haley's first birthday party a few weeks back. Jay, thank you so much for having us. Only wish we could have stayed longer. I cannot believe how close you live to the Magic Kingdom.
Well, like you said, we can hear the fireworks every night. We can sit out on the front porch and listen to the steam train whistle. It is nice. So
you're living the dream, man. Nobody better. That's great, man. You just have a great family. So do you mind if I ask you about this? Because, you know, a few weeks back, Disney announced about these drones being allowed to fly over, I think it was the theme parks or over guests. You know, they're definitely getting a chance to really experiment with the drone technology. What are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, if people don't know, you're a pilot. You fly around all over North America every day. I see your flight paths, and so you kind of know about all this stuff. So what are your thoughts on this? Like, is it safe? Is it something that's going to, you know, I wanted to say take off. That'd be terrible. But what are your thoughts?
The drones, since they've came out, they kind of introduced something that wasn't really regulated. What is a drone? Is it a toy or is it a tool? Is it an aircraft? So the FAA had to come out with a ruling that basically, because what was happening was people were flying their drones near airports, which, as a pilot, that just boggles my mind because
No kidding.
You don't want these things flying around airports.
I especially second that. Now that I'm getting more comfortable with flying, let's don't make it any more difficult on me.
Right. Well, so what the FAA finally did was they said drones, they're going to be their own title, but you have to have a license to fly them. So they're legally considered a type of aircraft now. And the problem that Disney ran into was two problems. You got to have a license to fly them now, which... it's a special drone license. It's not like you can go fly an airplane. But the other problem is there is a rule by the FAA that says you cannot fly within 500 feet of several levels of the rule, but you can't fly within 500 feet of a structure or a person or something. And the other no-no is you can't fly over a congregation of people, which... Disney is both of those.
So I'm thinking, yeah.
So these waivers that they just got is basically the FAA giving them permission to... I haven't seen the actual legal paperwork, so I'm sure there's rules to it. But it basically allows Disney to fly these drones over people. But they're so small. I've got one. I hit myself with it. I flew it right into myself accidentally. It's not going to kill you. It stings a little bit, but nah, it's not dangerous.
I mean, I've gotten hit by shells at Illuminations. I mean, and they were pretty big chunks. So, you know, I mean, it's all dangerous. It's all interactive is what I say.
Yeah. It's interactive magic.
That's it. Especially New Year's
Eve. But actually, I'm just coming home from Disney Springs right now, and DJ Elliott was giving me the lowdown on it. Supposedly, these things are supposed to start flying November 16th. And they're going to be near where the balloon is, where Coaster's employed is.
And, you know, this show is actually going to come out a little bit after that. But, of course, we have been invited to a media event, which will have already happened by the time this show airs if you're not listening live. But, yeah, I'm crossing my fingers because we're going to be there from the 15th to the 17th of November. And one of our big events is at Disney Springs. We got to pick where we wanted to have dinner to sample one of the great restaurants. And I picked the... what's the Mexican place? Of course, the Safahita is on the restaurant, and I was there because it's a Wednesday night while I'm there. It's Cocina for something. I'm so terrible at the restaurant names, but you know, next to Spring. It's by Sprinkles. It's the place that has fajitas and enchiladas and stuff. So I was in on that, but yeah, exactly. I'm hoping this happens while we're there because I want to get some footage, and more likely, hopefully, we'll have some access because I think it would be really interesting to talk to the people that are flying this, you know, this show, because I would imagine. You know, Jay, do you remember back in the day, and I never saw this, but there was a show at Epcot where they actually had like a one of those ultralights, I think, that flew around World Showcase Lagoon. Did that happen?
I've heard stories of it. I never did get to see that. And also, like with the Dragon a couple of years ago, I never saw that. That was the one-and-done thing. That was totally incredible, but they're toying with different ideas in the sky.
Yeah, I'm just curious about this technology because, I mean, I think that it could be amazing. And Adam is, my good friend Adam down in Huntsville is in the chat here in Facebook. And one of the things I've learned in the last month that Adam has gotten himself a drone, I think it's a quadcopter that has the, you know, HD camera and the film.
Videos are incredible.
Is that unreal? Like, I mean, I didn't know where he was getting these pictures at first. I was like, what's this about? I mean, it looks like, I am not exaggerating. Everybody's tuned in here. It almost looks like something you would see on Soarin', you know, like this quadcopter takes off and comes in and buzzes, you know, the soybean fields and you see these beautiful sunrises and sunsets from Northern Alabama. And the thing is it's so steady And it looks like he's only had one crash landing to this point to his record. So he's doing pretty good, you know, I would say, and it survived. So,
everybody has a crash at some point.
I hope not. No, not you. Let's hope not. But, you know, I think the thing is, though, is that Disney can tell a story with this, and wow, to be able to be untethered. But I would think you would have to be so skilled, because this isn't something, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Could you automate this all the way down, or is this something that would have to be flown live every show, every time?
From what I understand, it needs to be. It could be a little bit of both. There has to be a human element to it. But you can do programmable flight plans and have it that are all GPS based, and you can go in on Google Maps and say, I'm going to fly here, here, and here. Now, with the resources that Disney has, I mean, the sky's the limit with them. They can come up with some incredible programs and just. I guess choreography is the right word to use, and I don't know the count of how many drones they'll have up, but the more that they have, the more incredible that this is going to look.
Yeah, so true, because I've seen these little, you know, and I guess there's all kinds of qualifications and classifications of drones. I've seen these little micro, you know, drones that are, you know, I have a helicopter that I got for like $29 for my birthday a couple years ago. That, I mean, it's pretty amazing. It can fly all over the place and it's a good time. But we'll have to see what the future holds. So, Jay, I appreciate you calling in. We got another caller coming in from the 518, but tell that family I said hello and we'll see you real soon.
Well, have a good evening, and we look forward to seeing some drones in the sky.
That's right. All right, Jay, take care. Tell everybody I said hello.
See you.
Bye-bye. All right, let's get our next caller in here, and we have somebody from the 518. Hey, who's joining us today?
Hi, Mike. This is Ed.
Hey, Ed. How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Doing well, thanks. Enjoy the show. Have a quick question for you regarding kind of Epcot Fast Pass strategy. Going down for a couple days with my daughter for her birthday, and haven't been in a year or so. So it's a couple new rides we want to get to. And
so is this just like a daddy daughter trip?
Exactly. Yep. She's turning 16. So
man, that's gonna be fun. That's gonna be a blast. Actually, I'm thinking about doing this at some point with Mallory, because I used to take Paige down with me. Just Paige and I. Jay knows, he was just listening. You know, we used to have the podcast events and we always had a good time, but I've not done it with Mallory yet. And she tells me that all the time, even though she's only 8. So I tell her she's got time. So great idea. So what's your question? What are you thinking about?
I'm just not sure what we should try to get fast passes for. If there's still a tiered system going on, time of day, that type of thing.
What I would say is, okay, so obviously the hottest Fast Pass right now anywhere on property is Frozen Ever After, and that's a really cool attraction. I mean, I'm a dude, you know, I'm in my 40s. I'm not, you know, an 8-year-old girl, you know, 6-year-old girl, but it's well done. I liked Maelstrom, but I think they took Maelstrom and added a better story. Now, of course, it's the story of Frozen, which is loosely related to Norway, but I think it's well done. You know, there's places where they may add stuff in the future, I hope, because there's a couple dead spots. But for the most part, really great audio animatronics, good story. So it's worth the investment of a Fast Pass. Now, the one thing that's changed over the past year since they kind of reintroduced Soarin' and so forth, I wouldn't use a Fast Pass on Soarin'. The standbys there are usually about around 30 to 45 minutes max. Usually you can get on there other times, but 15 to 20. Another Fast Pass I would use would be Test Track. So that one just never, that's always a long line. Then the problem is you kind of have a throwaway for your third one, because what are you going to use it on? Spaceship
right.
Earth or, you know, Living with the Land or Imagination. So that's kind of the predicament you're in at Epcot. Is I wish they would untier the things, you know, maybe Illuminations if you're going to stick around in the evening. That's another option.
Right. Good idea. Thank you very much.
No problem. I appreciate it. Hey, where are you calling from?
Upstate New York.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call. Hey, thanks for supporting the show. Thank you again.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. Have a great trip. All right. This has been fun. All right. Keep them going. 407-413-9395. Let me know if you agree or disagree with my Fast Pass strategy. I don't give it a lot of thought with my family. We kind of just make it up as we go. But I do try to, help people when you have questions about what can work out the best. And I love that idea of a father-daughter trip. Like I said, need to do that with Mallory. And the funny thing is, again, if you've been with us, this show has been going for 8.5 years. So we've had a lot of evolutions of how I travel, where we've stayed over the years. And of course, you know, forever I only drove. I would not get on an airplane. I would not fly. But over the last year, because of the flights we've taken, we now have frequent flyer miles, which I never thought I would have. So I'm thinking about taking Mallory down maybe in the springtime for a quick weekend and just a father-daughter trip to have a good time and spend some time with her like I did with Paige. I think for those that, you know, that kind of are in the situation I was, Paige is my stepdaughter. She's 20 now, but she was only about 4 or 5 when Pam and I kind of first started dating. And one of the greatest things was getting to kind of really grow our relationship on trips, just her and I down to Walt Disney World, whether it was the drive through the night or just the times in the parks. And she got to meet new friends like Hannah, Pam's daughter, and other listeners of the podcast that they had kids her age. It was really a growing experience for us to really bond as, you know, a stepdad and a stepdaughter. And those are some of the times I truly cherish. You know, over the years with Paige down at Walt Disney World. So father-daughter trips, maybe even mother-son trips. If you've ever done that, let me know how that goes. Again, so 407-413-9395. We're talking a little drones. And we have the name of that restaurant. It was Frontiera Cochina, I believe. And I'm so bad at saying ethnic restaurant names. So we also, you know, another thing that we could talk about here is we have a couple minutes left to take your calls again at 407-413-9395. You'll be right in. There's nobody waiting right now. So if you call, you are on the air. Is that water taxi? I don't know if you heard about this, but over at the Grand Floridian, they are trying to plus the experience for the guests over there where you can hire a private water taxi that will take you and up to 9 other guests, so 10 guests total. Anywhere to any destination on Seven Seas Lagoon, a little private boat, and it is $20 each way. So I was thinking about this. Now, if it was just, you know, 2 or 3 people, $20 each way, I could find something else to spend 20 bucks on. You know, that's a lot of corn dog nuggets at Casey's, or that's about 3 chicken and waffle sandwiches at Sleepy Hollow. But maybe if you had 10 people, you know, you got a big group there and you want to, I don't know. Is it traveling in style on a boat launch that's private on Seven Seas Lagoon? I don't know. You're not going on the Grand One or anything. But maybe if time is money on your trip, which it is sometimes, maybe you could take that that private taxi for 20 bucks. Everybody chips in 2 bucks, and there you go. All right. So, again, give us a call, 407-413-9395. Let's see what the chat has. Jennifer is saying that, you know, Epcot's a really tough one for fast passes. And I tend to agree, you know, that the tiering really does tend to make things challenging when it comes to thinking about, you know, everything I want is in the same tier. I don't care about Imagination or the Seas with Nemo and Friends. I can walk on that one, but you're always forced, it seems like, to take that third fast pass is an option that you don't even need it, but you feel like you got to take it. Let's see here. Oh, see, sorry, Carrie. Carrie's saying in the Facebook live chat that, now her son's saying, why can't we take a mother-son trip? Hey, Carrie, you're on the ball. Let me know. I can help you book that trip at themagicforless.com. That'll be fun. Yeah, and Scott has a good point, too. He says that if he took his daughter, Emily, on a father-daughter trip, that his wife would be jealous. I think the same of mine. But you know what, Scott? Maybe you know, we'll have to do that at the same time. I think Mallory would get a kick out of being with Emily. And, of course, we'd have a good time, too. So. Again, we're going to have the phone lines open for a couple more minutes, 407-413-9395. Another thing that's going on over at Disney Springs, we're talking with Jay about the drones. We got a call here. Let's get this call in here. This is why we're on the air here on a Monday. And who's joining us from the 501?
Hey, Mike, it's Rogers McAfee. How's it going?
Hey, good. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man. I hear you talk about some friends down here in Arkansas on the show occasionally. It makes me happy to know there's others like me around.
Good stuff. You know, we do have this coming Friday, I believe, is the Border War football game, Mizzou in Arkansas.
That's right. That's so, exactly right. Woo pig, baby.
You guys will smoke us this year, but hey, SEC all the way. Good luck to you. We'll put up a fight. So what can I help you with tonight? What do you want to talk about?
Well, listen, I've got a question. I hope it doesn't cross the line of morals for sure. But I've got a trip that we're planning for next October and looking to maybe make a large group trip out of it. Several friends and families joining us down for Food and Wine Festival and a Halloween party. We've done this weekend in the past and we just invited several people. And I was trying to help a buddy in the military of mine to figure out, you know, some ideas on pricing and rooms and that kind of thing. And one of the questions that he asked me, it's going to be him and his wife, his 2 daughters, and then his mother and father-in-law that are looking to stay together. So, of course, they would have to have two rooms, over at one of the resorts. And his question to me was this: why can I not just pay for one room and then, you know, the other people just stay in the same room with me and we make it work without, you know, an actual reservation? I understand that this is not a moral, it's not a very moral thing to do, but at the same time, what is the stopping from doing that?
I think, you know, and again, this is one of those things that obviously I don't have the official word. I mean, I know that there's an occupancy for safety reasons, and obviously that, you know, the thing that gets me with Disney, and this is the thing that kind of gets me when it comes to something akin to what you're mentioning, is what I'm noticing is now that Paige is 20 years old, you know, when our family of four goes down and stays at All Stars, any four person resort room, whether it's, you know, anywhere, not a deluxe or a villa, it costs more for Paige to stay with us because now we have three adults and one kid rather than two adults, two kids when she was 17 or younger, and it costs more. And we're, you know, it's like she's not taking up any more space in the room. It's just the extra adult charge. I think that bugs me to death. But what you're saying is what I think you would run into. Are you talking about like just a regular on-site Disney resort?
Yeah. So looking at, one of the deluxe resorts, probably the yacht club, is where we were looking at.
Yeah, some of those can accommodate more than four, so that may be, it would be tight, but the thing is, you got to look at you're talking six people in one room?
That's right.
Look at the, maybe get a one-bedroom villa, I'm thinking beach club, but I know what you're talking about, the morality of it and the ethics of it all, but I think where they get you, though, is when they come in for, and I don't know how they do this, but this is what I've heard. Is it the housekeepers can kind of somehow figure out that there's more people in that room than there's supposed to be. And sometimes they can rat you out there, which, you know, again, you are breaking the rules. So they can kind of just maybe be a frontline enforcement. But when you think about how many guests are at a Walt Disney World resort, the logistics of being caught, probably not. But the thing is, it's going to be really tight. And then when you get into things like My Disney Experience and your accounts and everything, it's going to be a challenge. I mean, it might save you a few bucks, but I know money's tight, but it's one of those things that I think you would have a very, if there's some way to swing, maybe going instead of yacht club, going down to a moderate with two rooms, I think everybody's going to be a lot happier.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just wanted to be sure that I made the proper argument. I thought I would call the experts to make sure I handled it properly.
No, that's, these kind of things are totally up to everybody on the road. It's one of those things, we can't condone anything like that here on the show, but, we don't want everybody to have a great experience. And, you know, I think that, if it was me, I would want to have a little bit of extra space. I don't know if I'd want to be that close. Even with my family, I love them to death, but a little, we were at All Star Sports, and it was a little tight for five nights at sports, even though we made it work. I would like to be spread out a little, but, I think everybody's going to have a good trip. It sounds like you're giving them some sage advice and everything's going to be great for them.
Well, I appreciate the extra firepower, Mike, to back my argument.
So, anytime.
Hey, thanks for everything you guys do, man. Love the show. Listen to every single episode. You guys are awesome. Keep up the good work. It really is. It's a lot of fun to have you guys around.
I appreciate it. You just made my day. So thanks so much for the call. Thanks so much for the podcast, love, and you guys take care.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Talk to you soon. All right. Again, great calls here. 407-413-9395. We had somebody just trying to get in. We're going to take one more call before we turn you loose here on a Monday to get back to work. We got to make that money for the holiday season that we are in the middle of. You know, Christmas commercials everywhere you look on TV. The kids are all making their lists and getting ready for an amazing holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah season. Here in the United States. So again, 407-413-9395. We'll stay on the air just a couple more minutes. I know somebody was trying to get in just a couple of minutes ago. We've been all over the place. We've been in New York, California, Arkansas. It's been a great day here on the podcast. And here is our final call, of course, down to Lake Buena Vista with Jay. All right, from the 517, who's joining us?
Hey, this is Scott. How's it going, Mike?
Scott, I should have known it was you. I never see your phone number. I just see your name. So, how are things in Michigan today?
pretty good. We had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving too.
I'm sure I did. It's let's see, as this show comes out, it's my birthday. What's going on? It's if you're listening on Sunday night. Yeah, I'm older.
Oh, happy birthday. Never mind. Forget Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know, man. It's I'm an old man compared to you. So what can I do? Hey, man, I want to give one more final shout out. And now that you're here, I appreciate you calling in. Wine and Dine Weekend a few weeks back. Amazing seeing so many lizards. We had a great time. It's amazing how this team, this running team, has just exploded. And everybody's so cheerful and everybody pulls you through. And speaking of that, huge shout out to yourself and Phil on Half Marathon Sunday. I would, in honest to God, I would have not made it. I know I've been training for Dopey, but I would have not made it. I felt ill that day. I just wanted to quit. I was going to give up my Lumiere's Challenge medal. You and Phil sacrificed your half marathon so that you could get me to the line, and I'll forever be thankful for that. So that's what the lizards are all about, but I just wanted to say thanks.
Oh, you're welcome, and that is what we're all about. You know, I wouldn't have had it any other way. That was awesome. Just three friends just walking, hanging out, having some good conversations. That's what it's all about, so.
I was hearing
and you got me to the line. You got me to the line at Dopey. And I'm sure you'll be doing the same this year. So
yeah, God help Phil. He's gonna have, or he's not doing the Dopey. Who's gonna get us to? What if we both break down on the Dopey? We'll have to pick up somebody else.
We'll definitely pick up someone. There's gonna be so many of us down there. So
Paige is going. Paige will be with us, but she's of course 20 and young, and we'll be fine. So. All right, so
like 90 minutes before us.
Yeah, exactly. No kidding. So what's on your mind? We've talked about a lot of stuff tonight, but do you have a question or anything you want to talk about?
I was just going to comment on that water taxi thing. Like, I know the $20 seems ridiculous, but I'd be tempted just to try it, just to see what it's like, you know, with a big group like us, like, because there's so many of us, like, with big families, it would be kind of inexpensive if we all just split in on it. And the way I kind of look at it, it's kind of like valet parking, you know, it's the same cost of valet parking, so why not just try a water taxi, see what it's like.
Or it's kind of like an Uber for Seven Seas Lagoon.
In a way. Exactly. The guy doesn't show up as quick as an Uber.
No, probably not.
It would probably be super popular. You'll be waiting 30 minutes for one.
You know what, though? If it starts making money, Disney might turn all the regular old free the water launches into these Seven Seas Lagoon Ubers, you know, and they'll have it in the My Disney Experience app or something.
Wouldn't that be? You're probably right. It will be the app. You'll have your estimated wait times for your pickup.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, though, that Disney tries these things. To be honest, I would guess that, I don't know, because I'm wrong on things like this all the time, but I would say by summer, this is something that is coming and gone, but who knows, you know what, because I think that you got to think of the clientele that stays at Grand Floridian, and I know a lot of our friends stay there, but, you know, it's one of those things where when you stay somewhere like the Grand Floridian, you're staying there for proximity to the Magic Kingdom, so you can get there quickly, and a lot of times you just, you know, you don't want to deal with the crowds, and $20 is, you know, for when you, this is the sad thing, I think, Scott, is that when you think about the overall cost of your Disney vacation, what you've invested in flights and hotels and tickets, you know, if you look at it, if you do this five times, it's $100, you know, and I mean, what's $100, you know, on a, you know, if you're staying at the Grand Floridian, a week might be $10,000. So, you know,
exactly.
You have a little bit of, you know, personal space there where you might not have it otherwise. So Disney may be onto something here. Who knows?
Yep. I would never do it more than once in the trip, or maybe once ever. But I would do it just for the experience once. But you never know. Like, it could be a late night at the Magic Kingdom. You just want to get back to your room.
That's true.
That's it. I'm dropping $20. Like, because actually, an Uber might be quicker though. Still, you never know. Because it depends on where it drops you off, too.
That's true. And the chat is all gold for this. You know, Todd, Chef Todd in the chat says he's in with you, so he'll ride the water taxi with us all. And Adam, our great our buddy that drives Uber down in Huntsville, he's ready to drive the water taxi Uber down at Disney. He's taking it to the next level already.
Okay, and that's awesome, because then we could even maybe consider tipping, too. You know, I'd give Adam $25, maybe even $30. You know, if he sings with some songs, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, well, hey, man, it's great talking to you, Scott, and, you know, we'll be together again at Marathon Weekend here. Man, it's a little over a month away. How's training going for you?
It's going all right. I got that long 20 run in. We got still had that 23 and the 26, but, hey, we got the hot chocolate coming up in a couple weeks, too.
So. That's right. We'll be running St. Louis, and when you're in St. Louis, a lot of times you're running for various reasons, and usually it's not for a race. I shouldn't tell you that. It's not exactly Disney, but hey, man, we're going to get hot chocolate and have a good time. When lizards get together to run, you can't argue with that. So
you and Phil will be taking me to the line that time.
That's it. It's hilly. I did it last year. It's kind of hilly. So we're going to have a good time. And well, we're going to wrap this up here, Scott. So thanks for the call. Tell Emily and Elizabeth we said hello and happy Thanksgiving belated to the family.
Yeah, we'll do. Happy Thanksgiving and happy birthday.
All right. Appreciate it, Scott. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this kind of different show here today. We just wanted to try something different. Always, you know, don't want to get stale here at the podcast. Been doing this for 8.5 years. But hopefully you enjoyed today's, you know, call-in show here on a Monday. Just kind of switch it up and see what was going on. A lot of variety of calls, and we appreciate that so much. Thanks to everybody who called. Thanks to everybody who joined us in the Facebook chat. And don't forget, today's show is brought to you by two great sponsors. Think about them here in the holiday season. They're both great gift ideas for the Disney fan in your life. First of all, The Wisdom of Walt, a great book by Jeff Barnes that gets into the history of Disneyland. It's also kind of a workbook to see how you can apply the lessons that Walt Disney left us in Disneyland to think about how you can improve your career and your life overall. So check it out. I want you to drop by Amazon.com. You can pick up a hard copy, a soft cover. Here's what I would do, because it is the holiday season. It's a special time. Disney fans love sentimental gifts. And let me tell you this. Instead of going to Amazon, which is a great option, but do this today. Go to thewisdomofwalt.com, thewisdomofwalt.com. And while you're there, you can learn all about Jeff Barnes. He travels all around the country giving professional development to teachers, doing motivational speaking. His story is amazing. Just Jeff himself, when you go by thewisdomofwalt.com, check out all about the author. But you can pick up a personally signed copy. So Jeff will sign this for your loved one. And, you know, that's a treasure they're going to have. They're going to love this Disney book. But when you have the author sign it, and it's something you can put there on the bookshelf or display proudly on the coffee table, that's something special for the Disney fans. So check them out. They support our show. We want to make sure we support them here in the holiday season over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Also, you want to keep your friends happy who are headed to a Disney destination here in 2017. Get them a premium subscription to touringplans.com. Now, this is something that is very inexpensive. You know, you can get it for really the cost of maybe a counter service meal at the Disney parks. And, you know, your loved one or yourself, hey, splurge for yourself. You're going to have great information to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible, either at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even Universal. So, hey, time's money on a trip. Help your loved ones have better Disney vacations, better Universal vacations here in 2017. Just drop by touringplans.com. Do give us a follow on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BRGuestMike. And of course, we got a great Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24/7 at magicalmouseradio.com. All right. Well, hey, I want to hear what you thought of today's show. If this was not as good as our trip report shows, hey, no worries. Let me know on the social media and we'll kind of scrap this idea. But I wanted to switch it up here to try something new. Always want to make this show the best it can be because you guys give us the time to listen. I want to always give you the time that I give my 100% best effort to bring you the best podcast possible. All right. Until we get back together again on Wednesday, where we answer your listener questions with Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. I'm wishing you a great Monday. Get back to work. Hey, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.